Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Needless to say, this coronavirus pandemic has affected lots of us. During this time, our jobs have been affected. We're taking pay cuts and losing jobs. We've all had a hard time finding paper products at the grocery store. And the meat department is looking empty too. Well, here in Florida, we raise a lot of cattle, and it's affected our cattlemen as well. Our cattlemen are taking about a 30% cut on the price of their cattle. Meanwhile, the plant that processes the meat is making about 15% more since the pandemic. According to the USDA, beef prices are up nearly 20%. And according to the latest Nielsen data, meat purchases are up 50% at the grocery store nationwide. So I rode to Okeechobee to try and understand what's going on. Todd and Jeff Clemens, president and vice president of the Okeechobee Livestock Market. What is happening, Todd, and how can we help our Florida cattlemen?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a messed up deal. We've never seen anything like it. And back before the COVID-19 deal, there was a plant, the Tyson Food Plant, in Kansas, had a fire. And that's one plant out of many plants across the country, and they killed less than 4% of the kill of the whole country. That one plant went down, and that affected the price of meat, that one little plant. How is that possible? It's possible because there's only four people that's buying the meat, buying the steers out of the feedlots and processing them. There's four guys.
Out of the whole
United States, National, Tyson, Cargill, and JBS. There's four of them.
Four.
Right. One of them's completely owned by Brazil, and the other one is owned half by Brazilians. And then, anyway, that's a whole nother story.
One of them's China. The Chinese own Smithfield,
right. So we've got foreigners that's owning these packing, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but there's very few people that's buying up all these cattle, and they take advantage, and they have taken advantage of situations like the Tyson plant catching on fire, the COVID-19, workers are laid off in the meat packing plants because of coronavirus, blah, blah, blah. And so it slowed down the speed chain. Anything that comes along that they can take advantage, the price that they're charging the retailers goes up, and the supply keeps backing up. The supply is there. There's as many cattle in the feedlot as there has been. I mean, it's not, we're not short beef. Mm-hmm. We're not short cattle, they're there. But the packers aren't processing them at the rate that they should be. Normally they should be killing right now 650,000 head a week. That's across the whole country. Mm-hmm. They're going to barely kill 450,000 head this week. Last week they killed 420 or 30,000 head. That's 200,000 head a week they're behind, and this has happened every week since COVID-19 came about. So they're backlogged. They're stacked up in the feedlots, and the packers, when they're ready to kill something, they go to the feedlot, and if you're the feedlot manager, they say, "Let me look at your biggest, fattest, nicest pen of cattle, and I'm going to buy them, and I'm going to pay you this for those. I'm going to bid you this number for that pen of cattle, and you can either take it or leave it." And that's the only buyer that comes to that feedlot, and he's got thousands and thousands of head to move because they're a perishable product too. You know, right. Their lifespan, they have to go. They got to move, or the chain, or the system just blows up, and it just backs up. So that's where we are, and the packers are killing fewer numbers of cattle and charging exorbitant amounts of money. For box beef cutouts last week, we're trading at $4.56 for a pound for that box.
Record high.
It's a record high, and they're making, now those packers are making close to $2,500 a head profit on one steer. When we sell our calves here at Okeechobee Livestock Market today, these calves today right here maybe will bring $600 to $650. And we've had that animal from the time the mama was pregnant, and it takes her 9 months to have a calf, and then we raise them 6 or 8 months later. You've got them for 18 months.
Right.
And we get $600.
Yeah.
And the packer owns them for a day and makes $2,400, $2,500. Mm-hmm. And then you when you go to the store to buy the meat, you're paying double of
right.
what it normally would be. Mm-hmm. And the ranchers are not, there's nothing that that we get our share of, that we're participating in any of those profits down the line. But there's a deal coming out now called the 30-14 rule,
mm-hmm.
that hopefully will make the buyers buy 30% of the cattle they purchase in a week's time on a cash basis. That means a negotiated price between a buyer and a seller. 30% of the cattle that they kill in a week's time have to be bought on a cash negotiated price, and they have to pick them up within 14 days. Right now, those four packers that we just talked about are mm-hmm. killing maybe 5% of their cattle on a cash negotiated price. They're killing them on a formula that's based off of cash, but they buy just barely enough percentage of cattle to set a cash price that's at a lower level, and then their formulas are built off a low suppressed cash price, which is suppressing the market. And it's there's not enough competition. Competition, capitalism will work if you just let it run. So that's the 30-14 rule, and it hopefully is going to come out in September if we can get the government to agree with it. There's also, back in the 50s, there was a livestock mandatory price reporting rule that's been in effect for a long, long time. So that is to keep the prices that packers are paying for cattle out on top of the table, so you and I or anybody can look at the market news service and see what the packers paying for their steers or their heifers out of the feedlots. And that's been on the books for a long, long time. It comes up for renewal this year, and that's in September. And this 30-14 rule, hopefully there will be an amendment put on the mandatory price reporting to attach this 30-14 rule to that, so that the packers have to report the prices they're given, but they also have to buy 30% minimum of the cattle that they kill in a week's time on a cash negotiated price between buyer and seller. And that, we think, is going to make a big difference.
Why can't there be more processing plants at a smaller level throughout Florida? Because from what I've researched is 50% of the agricultural land in Florida is for cattle.
The environment of Florida is not conducive to grow the grain that the cattle have to be fed on as good as the states out around Kansas, Iowa, Texas, Oklahoma. They're closer to the source of the grain. We have not much land that can grow like they can out there. That's the farming land.
I see.
So it's cheaper to take these Florida cattle to the feed than it is ship
the
feed to the cattle.
Gotcha.
And there's roughly 1 million head of cattle in the state of Florida, isn't that right? I think it's around 1 million head, and that's just beef cows. I don't know if that includes the dairy or not, but you know, I don't know if people understand how many cattle are in the state of Florida.
How about a label that says it's Florida cattle? Is there such a thing as that? Well, you know what I mean? Because I don't know where my beef is coming from.
Well, and that's another issue. There is Fresh from Florida. That's a branded program. If you buy produce in the store, oranges or anything else that's grown here, it'll have on there Fresh from Florida. There's no beef that I know of. I know there's some beef that some ranchers in Florida have branded special, and they're killed and processed in Florida, up in Edina Springs, I believe.
But there's just a few restaurants that goes to.
Yeah, it's just a small deal. But the problem we have here, another problem, is imported meat can come in here from Brazil in a box and offload off a ship or a plane or however they bring it in here in a box, and they'll take it out of that box and put it in another box in Miami or wherever the processing deal is, and then they can label it product of the USA, and that meat is coming from another country. And it's on the meat counter right next to the beef that's grown here, and you won't know the difference because it doesn't say anything on there about this product may come from Brazil or Mexico or some other country, but you don't know that. So that's another plan. People are talking about a mandatory country of origin label.
Yes.
MCOOL, mandatory country of origin label, so that you, when you're buying your meat at the counter, it will say, plainly state on there, product of the USA, no foreign meat. Or if it's from Mexico, it says. Or if it's from Brazil, it says. So that's another thing that we don't have now, but there's a movement to get that done too.
We need to really get that done before we work on Florida. I mean, the beef coming from out of the country, we need to know where it comes from.
Amen.
But we've regulated the small packers out, and that's just from OSHA, health, sanitary, food. Where's my food come from? These plants that operate, I mean, they have to go through a lot of stringent regulations. And back in the day when there used to be thousands of little regional, small, local meat packers, it's just price prohibitive for these guys to stay in business because of government regulations, which on one side is good because our food, I believe, in our country is the safest food there is in the world.
Right.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's good that we have confidence in what we're putting into our body. Mm-hmm. But the regulations imposed on the packers, it's where a little guy can't build and put a packing house in to business because they just can't afford to. So I think, and that's the big guys chewing up the little guys again.
Yes.
So there needs to be more of them, more competition, mm-hmm. more competition.
And now tell us again where we can find out about this 3014 rule, the USCA. We can help
help the little man with the 3014, and there's two places you can go on your computer. Go to National Beef Wire, and Corbett Wall is a guy that gives a daily market blog or summary. It's like on YouTube or whatever, but it's through National Beef Wire, Corbett Wall, and he came up with the 3014. He showed that to the United States Cattlemen Association. And they have a marketing committee, which I've been a part of for the last 6 weeks. And they're talking about how to implement some plan to get the packers, to make the packers buy more cash cattle, cash negotiated cattle, more competition. Mm-hmm. And this plan seems to be that it will help put money back into the ranchers' pockets. And how that would happen is the feeders in Texas and Kansas and Oklahoma, wherever those feedlots are, they buy our Florida calves. So they have to have a supply, and Florida is one of the largest states of cow-calf producers. So when they can buy cattle and put into their feedlot, then they sell that the animal when it's mature out of the feedlot to the packer. The feeder has to make money on it. He's got to make money on it to stay in business. The rancher has to make money on it to stay in business, and then the packer needs to make his share too. Everybody needs to make a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the feeder, he's losing money. The rancher's losing, I mean, barely breaking even.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do if if all of our land is developed in Florida. We have to keep green space in Florida. We can't have more concrete. We've got to have more green space. It's good for everybody. Amen. It's good for Lake Okeechobee. It's good for the people on the coast that live in the condominiums. But they don't know. So these things hopefully will help the price trickle down from the packer buying meat at, if he's selling meat for $4 for a pound in the box, then that needs to be related back down to the feeder. He needs to make a little bit, and the rancher needs to make a little bit too.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much. That is Todd Clemens, Jeff Clemens, president and vice president of the Okeechobee Livestock Market. Of course, more information on the amendment that's coming up in September, the 3014 rule. We'll have it on our post. Thank you, gentlemen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.